your hits for Gila County. Gila 101.9.
And at exactly 5:30 on President's Day, we have community meetings and we have District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey. Tim, thanks for coming.
You bet, Riley. How are you today?
I can't complain.
Well, happy President's Day. I'm sure yes. that everybody out there has at least had one president that they liked. You know? I hope anyway. But anyway, yeah, it was a holiday for us today, and I had a whole lot of stuff put together, and I went by to get it, and my key didn't work. It's one of those little flash keys, so anyway, something went wrong, so I'm kind of winging it, but that's all good, 'cause we've been just mainly a lot of it has just been working on trying to get flood mitigation money.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's been difficult. FEMA turned us down. Now we're working with the state to try to get it redone.
I was going to ask about that because the last time we talked about it, FEMA had in fact obviously declined, and there was supposed to be an appeal, and it was like a 30-day calendar or something. Hasn't that come up?
Well, yes and no. It has come up. There's been extensions done, and then also to after we were denied, Eli Crane, he came into town and he brought I don't remember the gentleman's name, head guy from FEMA, and Dima was here as well, and Mayor Gamaros and Mayor Madrid, and we all met and had a good meeting, and they were going to go back to Washington and try to see what they could do to help us on getting FEMA to reconsider. And I think part of it might have been, and I won't get too much into that because that's in the mayor's neighborhood, but the sewer system, you know, I mean, it most of it's in a wash, and some of the heads got washed off, so you can imagine the plugging and things that went on, and their system's working. I'm not going to go any further with that, but you know, just something like that would put the cost of the damage done extremely high.
Right.
Not that we didn't have, you know, 30 million or so anyway, and without that, but anyway, so anyway, we're taking a look at a lot of things, trying to get some more done, and then our state Representative Walt Blackman.
Mm-hmm.
I went down here the other day. There's a bill. It's House Bill 2070. And that is Representative Blackman is trying to get us $25 million from the state, which would help out an awful lot. I went down and testified also to Mayor Gamaros was there. Mayor Madrid was there. A lot of the city council were there. A lot of the Miami council were there. And so they allowed, I think, like 6 people to testify. But there was support there in numbers for this bill. And in that particular committee, it passed 100%. So it's going up the food chain. Hopefully that will help get through. Because, you know, even what's not realized is we can only do what we can afford, and we live on 3.5% of our tax base.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not only they say, well, you can put in for a grant. Well, 25% match on some of this
right
work to be done. Or I think it's 25% match with DEMA and 10% match with FEMA.
Right.
FEMA is federal. DEMA is state. And so, you know, when you think we don't have, you know, millions of dollars
right
just sitting around to spend, we don't have a flood control district. You know, when you look at your tax bill, there's not a tax bill on there for a flood district. And so, you know, we use different funds. And at the end of the year, when we're audited by the state, we have to, you know, we have to show where we spent our money and what pot of money it came from.
Right.
And so, you know, and when all the flooding and stuff was going on, you know, we brought our crews from Tonneau Basin. We brought our crews from Payson. We had, you know, equipment transported down to try to help, you know, our community down here get functioning again. And all of that costs. and it's all got numbers to it. And we got all the sediment, you know, out by the landfill. We've got, you know, piles and pile, a huge pile of, you know, all of the home stuff that washed away in debris. And so, you know, we have to do something with all of that. And without any money, what do you do? And so we're working hard to try to get some funding. We've even looked at perhaps even trying to borrow money, which we're financially in good standings, you know, as far as counties go, we are. And so, but, you know, just to pay ourselves back for, like I say, the work, the hours, the equipment, the all of that that's already been spent, you know, and it can't come out of HERF funds, you know, our road funds. And so we're looking at a lot of different angles right now, hoping that, you know, the state or federal will step in to help us.
Okay, couple questions.
Okay.
Why do we not have a flood control district?
Well, that's something we're looking at now. You know, we've been supervisors that we don't want to raise people's taxes.
Oh.
And that's why we tried to be creative with Discover Gila County to bring more people in to try to do a lot of things to try to increase, you know, like our sales tax and things of that nature, rather than go to the property owners for more money. And so, you know, that's something that may need to be discussed in the future, to where we may need to create a, you know, a funding for that.
Maybe other districts too. Something could be rejiggered, rethought, because the idea that you're having to rob Peter to pay Paul, and all the implications of that, something's got to be done. One way or another.
Sure.
So maybe there's a way to change who's getting what to whom. But I would think that a flood control district in our area, you know, I mean, this flood proved that it really was necessary. My next question, okay, so DEMA at 25%, that's really high for us. Now, is that also the agency that insists we do it in 220 days?
I think those are the federal grants. The 220 days, I do believe, is federal. But, yeah, and we're still... I don't know that we've been awarded any of those jobs as of yet. I haven't had an update with that particular team. I meet with most of my department heads once a month. And so, like, I'll meet with Michael O'Driscoll, and he is over, like, IT, planning and zoning, health department, and those kind of things. And then I'll meet... I'll have another meeting that will include facilities and things of that. So they try to update me best they can, but a lot of times, you know, we're just waiting to see.
Oh, sure.
Kind of deal. And also too, you know, some of the things that I'm working with on them is that, you know, one of the grants is like for Six Shooter Canyon. And I know that earlier on when we flooded the first, you know, when the Pinellas burnt earlier, we had a difficult time getting easements because a lot of our runoff areas are private owned, and you know, people are when we were just going to go in and like dredge the creek and clean it out, we did pretty well with easements. People said, you know, yeah, you can clean it out, get the brush out so it doesn't you know, plug bridges and things like that. But when we wanted to go in and put up concrete walls and things like that to make the flow better so there's not the erosion, that's when we got a big timeout. You know, Tim, that's not, you know, something that we're going to give you permission to go in and do. But we're going to try again on if that is a grant that we're awarded, you know, we are going to reach out and seek easements. But that's, you know, and that's a lot of problems with a lot of our washes, you know, even Claypool, Central Heights, Lower Miami.
Of course it is.
Is some of these people have you know, we're on hills,
right?
Well, in this area, and so people have water drainage, you know, through some of their properties, and some of the deeper drainages, well, that just kind of ends up where the old chicken coop goes, and
right,
and the brush that you just trimmed out front, and you know, that just kind of, but then when we get moisture, then it's coming in, and that's creating a lot of our problems too. So we're also trying to work out something, you know, in our waterways that would help a lot. And prevention on some of this is to, you know, create where we don't get the flash flood like we got, either like some diversion dams or multiple drainage areas.
Well, you know, this is the silver lining in the extent of the damage that occurred, because I think some people might have an attitude adjustment after they've seen what goes on. So sure. Now would be the time to get those permissions. The FEMA thing, back to that for one moment, the reconsideration, so that's still alive?
It is. Okay. It's still alive. And I think part of that we threw in with the state, because during those storms, like Maricopa had a lot of damage and stuff as well during those same storms.
Did.
And so, you know, by throwing in with them and reaching at FEMA, then we're somewhere like around $100 million instead of $30 million, which might help as well.
Yes.
But like I say, I have not had any recent briefings or meetings on where we're going or what's going on. Like I say, I meet with my department heads, and they kind of tell me what they're working on. But as far as the Board of Supervisors, we've had nothing come before us to accept. I think, like I say, the only meeting that we have had is with, you know, reaching to maybe borrow some low-interest money. And then it could be paid back if we get the $25 million from the state.
Sure.
Or if we get federal funding, then we can pay that loan back. But that will give us some operating funds to at least get ourselves reimbursed, like you say, Rob, Peter, PayPal.
Yes.
You know, get Peter and Paul both paid, and you know, stay on the level with things of that nature. You know, to see where that'll go.
Well, it seems like it's on track from the standpoint of you're continuing to pursue every potential avenue.
Yes.
And again, getting to these homeowners now to sign rights is going to be critical. And I know that the city has that problem too.
Yeah. No, they do. And you know, some of the people, you know, I mean, I can understand some of it, but you know, when it affects a whole community, you know, I guess it's being a little selfish if you don't want a 200-year-old tree cut to save lives and people downstream. You know, I don't
yeah.
know. That's
yeah.
That's a difficult situation, but that's one we're working on. And like I say, grants we're working on. And some of the good news is from our past history with flooding, from all the fires and things that we've had, engineering is a big thing. 220 days is not very long.
No, it isn't.
So some of these projects in these creeks, we've had engineering done prior. So that will help a little bit if we're awarded, because, you know, in the past, we have put in for these grants, and they gave us like 7 grants. But they knew darn good and well we couldn't get all 7 of
right.
them done in 220 days. It's almost like believing in Santa Claus.
Right.
And, you know, because then you got to get them designed. You have to have your easements. Then you got to get your contract. We're rural Arizona. It's not as if, you know, we can put 300 guys together tomorrow to get something done.
Every homeowner here knows this story.
Yeah.
Too well.
Yeah. And so, you know, that. The good thing is, you know, we're still working on it. It's not a shutdown, no deal. And a lot of these projects that we are reaching for the 220 days is a lot of those we have had engineering
Great.
Done on them prior.
Good.
And so that may help us. go forward with some of that. But yeah, and you know, we're supposed to be getting some more weather, so if it looks really bad, get on some high ground. I mean, I think most of it's going to be up in the mountains and snow, hopefully, because like I say, I live at Roosevelt Lake, and it's too low for this time of year, in my opinion. And when you see no snow on the mountain, it's like, I don't know what's going to fill it. So, you know, they're expecting a lot of snow up north, so maybe we'll get it.
Yeah.
And then a bill that I've been pushing for 8 years is I'm going to go down Wednesday and testify on a bill. It's a Senate bill, 1067. And Senator Wendy Rogers is carrying this bill for Gila County.
Good.
And what that is I've tried to get it for a long time because all of us pay taxes on our property and we're liable for our property. But there's those people that either have passed away and there's no owner for the property. So there we have no one to cite, or the investors. And so what this bill will do, if it makes it through, and it's losing steam, so if any of you want to call and or even go down on Wednesday to even be there for the presentation of this bill, is I was going to look up the time, but anyway, it's going to be a bill that, like, if the county, if it's a health issue or if it's a blighted issue, that we have to go in and clean the place up. What this bill will do is say it cost us $1,500 to go clean that place up. So what would happen is, if this bill passes, is that, okay, then that can go to the next year's tax bill. So it doesn't need an owner. Whoever's paying the taxes on that property, I don't care if you're an investor, I don't care if you're an estate, I don't care if you're a family member, if you're paying taxes on a property, and say you're paying $500 a year on taxes, and we got to spend $1,500 cleaning it up, next year you're going to get a $2,000 tax bill.
I like it.
And I don't know why anyone wouldn't, but it seems like the state just is having a hard time with any of these property issues.
Because these people live in Maricopa County and Pima County in nice HOA developments and don't have we do.
Yeah, no, they don't. And what frustrates me so much as a supervisor, I've been working on this for 9 years. I've done everything I can. You know, we're doing all we can with the health department. We're doing all we can, you know, with a code officer and a hearing officer and being able to, you know, write citations and turn people, you know, into a collection agency. That sounds horrible. And, you know, I mean, we try to help people. We really do. And we don't just throw fines at people and try to take things, you know, but you need some teeth in something like that in order for it to work. And so, but see, that doesn't work for the people that have passed away where the properties don't have an owner and it never went to probate, or to the investors that can foreclose on these properties and aren't. They're still paying a small amount of taxes.
Right, and they're not foreclosing on it because they don't want the responsibility. So they pay the $400 of taxes. But now what this says is, and I'm sure you'd be sending the taxpayer a notice, hey, clean up your blight.
Well, thing of it is right now, you know, if you're in violation, you get 30 days to clean it up.
Right, and so if the taxpayer is going to get that 30 days to clean it up, sure. Fine. The county's not going to step in until the taxpayer is fully, you know, delinquent in the responsibilities.
Right.
And at that point, yeah. And as long as they are notified and they have the right to clean it up on their own first, because, you know, and on the other hand, if they didn't, then we're basically writing a blank check. We can say, hey, it costs $25,000 to clean up your property. But hey, here, you got to do this. You got 30 days to do it. You don't do it. We do it. By the way, it's next year's taxes.
Right.
I like it.
Yeah. I don't see why anybody would have a problem about making people responsible for their own property.
Exactly.
And if you want to invest in 100 properties in Gila County, go right ahead. But take care of them.
Well, right. Right. And that's exactly it. 100 properties isn't an exaggeration. So sure, take care of it. And, you know, it's sort of short-sighted for people elsewhere in the state to think it won't happen to them. Because as we're approving big projects like data centers and all that, if one of those goes belly up, they're not going to want that next to them.
No, no, they're sure not. They're sure not. And so anyway, that's
good.
That's a bill that I'm going to testify on Wednesday.
Good.
Down with Senator Wendy Rogers. And then there's another bill, and I don't have the number of it right now because, like I said, I couldn't get all my stuff. But what this bill is for is we've talked, I think, they're doing a test deal through ADEQ on the water area, like in the wheat fields area, where they're doing forgivable grants for septic tanks replacing cesspools.
Yeah, good.
Okay. So what they're doing is right now there's a program through ADQ, but it's only for Pima County. And Pima County has that for Pima County, to where if someone in Pima County has cesspools, then they can get a forgivable grant to replace the cesspool with a septic tank.
If the lot is large enough.
Yes. Yeah, you know, providing that you can. Or even an above water if it's not. Yeah, because cesspools are outlawed. They're trying to help get rid of them. And so what this bill will do is it'll open it up so Gila County can use that same bill.
That'd be great.
Yeah, because we have a lot of people in Gila County with cesspools.
Absolutely.
And the way we're at now is they can continue on a cesspool
until
it fails. Once it fails, then it's over.
Right.
And so that's another bill that we're pushing, and I've been gonna go down to testify on that one too, because those are three bills that would help our community an awful lot. And so anyway,
well, I'll tell you what, if this would cover the cost of above ground systems, which are pricey, then that opens it up, because let's face it, when you talk Central Heights and all Midland City, all that, you're looking at lots that there's just no way.
Right.
So the idea now, when you do an above ground, and I know the cost is quite up there in terms of building it, is there a higher cost in maintaining it?
I don't know. I haven't looked into that much, Rolly. I'm not sure of the maintenance on it. Even septic tanks, from what I understand, they recommend that you pump them like every 5 years.
Of course.
And so I would imagine that there would be some kind of clean out process that you would do every 5 years or something like you would on any other.
That's reasonable, but I mean, like a monthly power bill or something like that, know what we're obligating people to on that, but if it's not much, what we're really saying is this is a gift. Sign up now.
Oh, it is. It is. It is. And I haven't been to a Tri-City meeting because all my meetings have been about floods and trying to find money, but I think they're still moving forward. I looked at my phone on meetings coming up, and they're having a meeting here coming up. And the reason I haven't been one is it's always been when I have another conflict with other meetings that have been more important. It's not that my interest isn't there, because it is very much.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like I say, if we can get a bill that will help with getting rid of cesspools, and we can get Tri-City going, that will help a lot of our blighted properties, because even if I don't know that the bill that Senator Rogers is carrying, the 1067, I don't know that it will have enough steam to get passed, because it just seems, I don't know if they know a lot of investors investors carry more weight than the actual constituents do. But, these are just some things the state, in my opinion, I wish they would help us with some of that. But even if that doesn't pass, if we can get Tri-City going, and if we can get the other bill passed, and see, Pima County is supporting the bill that will help us in getting rid of cesspools.
Oh, sure.
And so that helps. You would think with them the only ones, they'd say, I don't know if I want to help support it, because that's funding we won't get anymore. So,
Right.
But or we'll have to share it then. And so anyway, that's some things we're working on here, trying to get some things rolling in Gila County to help with some of our blight issues.
And this is important not only for people who are here, but to attract new people, new businesses, new whatever. Because, you know, you drive down some of the streets in Central Heights or whatever, and it's like, get out of town.
Well, and a lot of those places have failed cesspools. That's why there's nobody living there.
Absolutely.
So we either need to support and help Tri-City get sewer to these places. Or, you know, something, a bill that will help us get some of these cesspools replaced so people can remodel them. Because the state came out and said, they have told Gila County that if it's a cesspool, you can't issue them a permit.
No, absolutely. And, you know, while I too am hopeful about TRSD, we all know how long and, you know, the project has been.
Sure.
But even with their best estimates, when you're looking at phase three, you're really looking at about a decade. And so that's a ticking time bomb.
Well, you know, it's a funding thing.
For a lot of reasons. But if you can have another option like the above ground, then that makes it that.
Believe
makes
me,
it
I'm
better.
Reaching with both hands in three different directions.
I frankly wish there was a way to just mow these properties down. You know, have grassland, put a tree there.
Yes,
but apparently that's not easily done.
Yeah, but where I am is let's get somebody living in them. Let's get some tax base going on.
Because
we don't have it. You know, we don't. We're surrounded with Forest Service BLM reservations and mine property.
Oh, right. And some of these properties, when they lay fallow for many years, now it becomes extremely expensive to rehab because they've got mold and they've got other things.
Oh, it's a demo. It's a start over.
Well, that's right. And we've got a lot of that.
We do. We do. But see, that would be good for young investors. You know, I mean, young people with a little initiative. You know, if they want to buy one of these old properties and work on it on weekends and get, you know, something, build a little investment for themselves in the future, you know, a little rental place or something, you never know. Or big investors. I mean, they come up and buy a block and tear it down and put houses up.
Right.
You know, or something of that nature. I would like to see some more infrastructure, but we got to take care of our blight issues, and we have to take care of our flood issues,
right.
And we're just that just seems to be some of the major stuff right now that we're swinging the bat at, you know?
Yeah, because until this is addressed, it's hopeless to do much to attract people or what have you. This is like the foundation.
It is. And so, we're just trying to gear that and go that direction. And I, you know, I appreciate the relationship that all of us have, the town of Miami, City Globe and Gila County. I'm glad that we're able to all work together and, you know, and try to help the community. But, you know, the state and the federal just have to realize that, you know, we do need help. And we may not have many votes, but we're still part of Arizona.
Absolutely. And not an isolated part from that standpoint. There's a lot of rural areas in Arizona.
There is. And what they don't realize is all of their tax base recreates in our county.
Yes.
You know, and so, but then too, a lot of the people that we hire live in their county. So we write a lot of checks that they don't cash here. And their property taxes aren't here.
Now, that's interesting. So many areas, there's requirements that city workers live in the city.
Sure.
And that was in the past. I know years ago with the police chief in Globe, he had to sell his house to move here, and then he wound up leaving. But it was a situation where he sold his house, he moved here, and then found out that the new city manager didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
So there's no hard, fast rule that you have to...
You know, I don't believe so. As a supervisor, the only hard, fast rule we had is that the county manager had to live here. But we do have a lot of other employees that don't. So do you reach for less qualified employees because they don't want to live here. You know, that's a...
Or they can't, you know.
Right. And so, but yeah, the county manager, I think he needs to live here. And he does, and he bought a house here, you know. But he never, his family never moved here. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But it would be nice to have, you know, your people that are employed here, vested here. They're kids in our school. They go to the grocery stores. You know, they go to the churches. They go to, you know, to the...
Right.
To the, you know, school board meetings and things of that nature.
You know, I mentioned the schools. Let's face it, the schools are a great impediment.
Yeah.
Young people do not want to have to deal with that here.
No.
Because there aren't even options, you know, when we're talking K through 12 of a private schooling that really would be quality. We've got a problem with that.
Sure. And there, you know, there is online schools now, and I've talked to a few people that have that. You know, and they're doing like online schools, and you're actually...
Which, by the way, are great.
Yeah, you're actually in a classroom with a teacher.
Yeah.
You have to be on to respond if the teacher calls on you. You know, so that
no, those the kind online of things are now. Just wonderful. And what some of them are even at your own pace as opposed to all classroom. But, you know, what that requires is a parent or a guardian, somebody making sure that kid is doing it. Not every kid is cut out for that, but... And that's something that I know they've talked about in the state of doing away with that, and I just go crazy when I hear that. Because
no, I think that's a great option.
I do
really
too.
Do.
I absolutely do. Yeah. They give you the computers, they give you the printers, the monitors. I mean, it's no money out.
Sure.
And the other thing is, for kids who are very enterprising, you can graduate from high school before you're old enough to drive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it can be done. And the ASU system, you can do, you know, obviously not if you're going to be a lawyer because the ABA doesn't allow it, but or not if you're going to be a doctor for obvious reasons. But for most everything else, you can do your whole college education online.
Sure.
I think it's tremendous.
Yeah. And especially for rural areas, if we can get signals and stuff, you know, a lot of professional people could live here because a lot of people are working from home.
Well,
and,
yeah.
You know, these rural areas with the lakes and all the stuff and the nice stuff, you know, if you can have what you need for your computer and your outreach, then, you know, it could create infrastructure as well.
Well, there's part of the problem. You know, we don't have good broadband option here, frankly, as far as that goes. Upstream is ridiculous. And we had a local guy living in Globe, Miami, who for 19 years, had been in charge technically. They fired him about a month short of his retirement vesting. But they didn't replace him with someone local. So now any problem here is being handled out of town.
Yeah, so, or out of country.
Well, there is that. But, I mean, assuming it's a technical issue, you know, requires hardware. No, they won't fly them in from India. But, yes, of course, when you're talking to call centers, don't get me started. Yeah, people who think they're speaking English, but we know they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Right.
But, and, you know, it's all like dominoes, one thing at a time. But those are all the things that ultimately have to be addressed. Now, I have heard that Payson has been improving their broadband situation, that they've got some fiber going in. I don't know. But if that's true, fiber to the premises is the real deal. And that, you know, if you're looking to go rural and you want to move your business and you're going to do, I'm going to telecommute or whatever, you really need to make sure you got fiber to the premises.
Sure.
And, you know, I hope they're doing that in Payson. It's really
And I think a lot of places that have fiber through some of your major utility companies.
Oh, yeah.
But who is the one that's going to split that off to the houses and businesses?
Well, you know, interesting. There's a bigger fight. And the best example of that in America is EPB in Chattanooga. They proclaimed themselves the Gig City years ago. And when their utility, the Electric Power Board, determined they were going to have smart meters, instead of doing it wirelessly, they wired each house.
Right.
Yeah. And so they thought, we can give them broadband. Well, what happened? You can hear it coming. Comcast sued them, AT&T sued, everybody else sued them, and some of the representative, Marsha Blackburn, there's a certain hell for that woman, you know, and she's now, I think she's like, it might even be a senator, but she's definitely in the House, but in any event, they're prohibited saying, well, you can't do that. My feeling is, if you're providing something that no one else is, and you're a city entity, Yeah, you should be able to do that. The people right. shouldn't have to hang for that.
No.
But those are the... Now, Mesa's trying something interesting where they're supposedly, I don't know where they are on it, but wiring every street and everything for fiber and allowing all the providers to use it, you know, to buy into it and use it.
Yeah.
And that would be great if that comes off.
I think a lot of houses have old Ma Bell wiring.
Well, no, just if you don't have fiber, and I love the way, that's the other thing, you know, we have things like the Federal Trade Commission, and by the way, you and I are talking, John shaking his head, I don't think there is Al Gamero's today, so it's just you and me, and we're having a fine time here, and that's fine, and of course...
That'll teach them to let us ring it.
That's right, the replay on Sunday morning, but yeah. They in these ads, they talk about fiber-fueled networks. Well, yeah. That means they've got fiber from the CO to the node, if you're looking. After that, yeah, it's Ma Bell to the house. So basically, no, that is not fiber.
Yeah.
You've got to have fiber to the premises. And, you know, frankly, the cable companies that provide it, they're still going through their nodes, which makes me just grind my teeth. But but at least it's there. Now, on the other hand, Quantum, which, by the way, is CenturyLink, but CenturyLink had such a bad reputation, they had to change the name of their fiber. So it's Quantum. But and some of the newer, like BAM and Zona, well, whatever Zona became, those are direct fiber from the CO to the home.
Yeah.
And it is symmetrical. And that's the other thing. Symmetrical is important.
Yeah.
And, you know, great, no latency. I mean, I could go on and on. And any community that actually invested and was doing that, I guarantee you they'd have telecommuters come there. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, then, good. You can help us work on getting some fiber to get people interested, and I'll try to work on some flood mitigation.
Yeah, right,
And some kind of a sewer system here.
Yeah.
So we can try to get things rolling here in our rural community.
Well, thank you for coming on President's Day.
No, not a problem. It's the community, and it was the time, and so it's like not a problem at all. I got plenty of days to take off on vacation if I need to. But
and what I might try, because we don't get phone calls. You know, it's a foregone conclusion.
It just doesn't happen.
So we're not even trying anymore, although, you know, you could have. But in any event, what I'm thinking is it might be a thing where we set up a deal to record them in advance by phone so you don't have to come in and then play them back at a certain time.
That's fine.
And because I know Al's had problems with conflicts and all that. And,
sure.
You know, you have occasionally, too.
Sure.
Last month was great. You had someone in your stead.
Right.
And hopefully she didn't have a heart attack. I know she had never done it before.
That's
so,
okay.
So, yeah. So
not
she
a problem.
She did a fine job.
Yeah, that was Christine.
Yeah, Christine. Yeah,
the new public works director.
Right, right. That's indoctrination by fire.
Yeah.
She did it, and we replayed it, and it's online. And we'll replay this Sunday morning on KJAA, and then it'll be up on KQSS.net before the week is out in perpetuity. And if you didn't call, gee, I wonder why, but you want to call, and maybe you want to call Tim off the air, his phone number is always open to you.
Yeah, 928-961-2885.
Okay.
And if I don't answer, leave a message, and I return all calls. And so if you got something you want me to check out for you, remember, I work for you. And so if you have a problem and I don't know about it, I can't help you with
right.
it. So.
Well, thank you, Tim.
You bet, Raleigh, and you take care and you have a good evening.
All right. You too.